We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs. I'm your host this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Tom Spence. How are you this morning?
I am blessed. Good morning to you.
Good morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more, they make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Don't forget to like, share, and comment to let us know you're here joining us this morning. I think I've covered it all.
All right. Would you like me to pray?
Would you like to pray to start us out?
I knew my part. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We come as thankful people, as grateful people. We come praising your name. This morning, we thank you that we are able to broadcast, that we're able to share your word in this way to maybe challenge some believers, spur them on to do good things, to prompt people to go out and be known as your disciples by our love. Lord, we thank you that we do have this opportunity. We thank you for the country we live in. We thank you for the communities that we live in where we still know our neighbors, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning, a blessing upon all who will hear this broadcast. And Lord, we ask that you finish the good work you began, as you promised to, and we're ready. Lord, we're working on it, and hopefully this morning moves us a little bit closer, and we have a hunger to dig into your word and all the things you've called us to do, Lord, and we just long for your coming. But Lord, we know we're supposed to do some stuff while we're here. So help us to fulfill that commission and go out and share the good news and do everything you've called us to do. Bless all the churches that gather in your name here and help them to be known also as your disciples by our love. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, God's Plan and Daily Details.
Yeah, sometimes it's kind of fun to figure both of them out. So are we ready to go?
Ready to go.
Okay, well, I referenced Genesis 48 because that's kind of where we are in Burns Flat going through Genesis. We're almost done, and that's where Manasseh and Ephraim come before Israel. And he gives him his blessing, and he says, no, it's supposed to be this way, not that way, though we never read about it in the Bible, but you kind of figure out, well, how did he know? And, you know, Joseph is there, and he gets a blessing, too, and it's like, yeah, we get all these things that we see Israel doing throughout, and God speaks to him here and there. It's like, but at some point, and you just, how did he know what to do at that moment in time? So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit this morning, because I know around where we study the Bible, people talk about God's plan a lot. God's plan. Well, God's got a plan. This is God's plan. And it's like, okay, God's got a plan. That's cool. We acknowledge it. Sometimes we accept it. We want to embrace it. We want it to be ours, too. You know, mm-hmm. It's God's plan. Well, I want that to be my plan. You know, I don't want this disparity between what God wants to do and what I want to do. And then sometimes our own understanding gets in there and just messes us all up. And we pull away from what we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, we want to do things the way God wants us to. And you know, we know God's plan will prevail, but are we going to get in step with it? It's the question. Are we going to do things God's way? So articulating God's plan, it's easy with big concepts, with big, broad arrows. Sometimes it's more difficult in the details of the day. What do I mean? Well, we know it's God's plan for us to spend eternity with him. His heart desires that none of us perish. We're all supposed to come to repentance, come to him, you know, proclaim Jesus as Lord. And he's got really good stuff for us when we do that. And we know that's his plan. That's what he wants. And we know he has good plans for our lives. We have the Jeremiah scripture that leads us straight to those words. So that one's easy to remember. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Yeah, and he didn't say, well, they're okay. No, they're good plans. And we know these things. And we know that we are to be known as followers of Jesus by our love. Okay, we know some of it. We know some things about God's plan, what he wants. We know that we are to profess Jesus as Lord. It's not like just go through life and say, yeah, one thing's as good as another. No, Jesus is Lord. You know, we know who's at the head of our church, and we're supposed to do that. And we know that we have a part in taking the gospel to the world. It might just be across the street, but we have a part in that part of his plan. And it's kind of cool he trusted us that much to take the good news to the world. And we know that if we really want to be great, and sometimes everyone says, I want to be great, and I want to do this, I want to do great things. Well, we're supposed to be the servant of all. It's like, if you really want to be great, then serve. Mm-hmm. So we know that part of God's plan, and we also know we're supposed to be generous. It's not like, okay, let me go get everything I can for me. No, we're supposed to be doing a whole bunch of sharing, okay, and hopefully we'll learn that in kindergarten or first grade, but you know, the world struggles with that concept, and the world's still preaching it's all about you, go get all you can get. But we're supposed to be generous. Okay, we know that, God. We got that part. We know we are to be a blessing to others. You go all the way back to Abraham. It's blessed to be a blessing, and that continues with us. We're supposed to be a blessing. We understand that part of the plan. We're supposed to practice humility. Yeah, we're supposed to be humble, and sometimes that's a challenge when we're really having a really, really good day or a good week and we're feeling really good and we forget, you know, that God's doing all this for us, but we're not supposed to forget that. We also know we are supposed to be bold when we approach his throne of grace. We don't come hanging our heads. He's told us to come. Come tell me what's going on. That's what God says. Come confess to me. Come ask for what you need. You're supposed to come boldly. And so we know that. And we also know God wants us to do things his way. But when we do it his way, for it not to be a burden. We're supposed to do things God's way. Oh, I got to do it God's way. Oh, no. We're supposed to do it God's way, and we're supposed to get in step with it. It's like, it's not a burden. God, you asked me to do something. I know it's for my own good. I think I'll go do it because you told me to, and because I get blessed out of the deal because I'm doing it your way. Yeah, sometimes we'll get persecuted along the way or ridiculed or those, but we know it's God's way and it's best. And so when we do it his way, it's not supposed to be a burden. I mean, we told that, and we know that. And we know that he wants us to draw near to him. It's a promise with that. He'll draw near to us. So, okay, God, I got that part. I know that part of your plan, draw near to you. We know we're supposed to forgive others. You want me to skip over that one? That's kind of forgiving others. Sometimes, God, I'm glad you forgave me, but this whole forgiving others, we know we're supposed to do that. I mean, it's right there in front of us. You know, Jesus said, you really ought to get this part right. If you want my Father in heaven to forgive you, you don't want him forgiving you the way you forgive others. You need to get that part right. So we know that. Okay, it seems like we know a whole bunch about what God's plan is, what he wants us to do. We know that God forgives and forgets. So, well, that can be a tough one. I'll forgive. I don't know if I never forget. But we're told God does forget. He says he doesn't remember it. It's like it's all gone. I said, okay. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that. It's going to be a hard one for me because I can forgive. Forgetting sometimes is tough. We need to be able to learn the lesson and still forget, you know, the trespasses against us. And that's tough. I mean, because as humans, we're going to remember that. You know, we'll forgive you, I think, but I'm going to remember that. Well, this is a tough one, but we know we're supposed to do it. He told us we're supposed to do that. We know that we are to be wise. That's a very broad statement. You know, Paul would say, don't be unwise, be wise. That's pretty straightforward. Okay, here's a dichotomy. Wise, unwise, choose wise. And you got a whole book of Proverbs in there with a whole bunch of wise counsel. And I remember did this twice, once at our 9 o'clock service and once at our main service, all the way through Proverbs. And people hung in there, and I was very pleased with them because Proverbs can be tough sometimes. And sometimes it's kind of hard to understand exactly what it is. There's you know, a little literary stuff in there. You kind of have to figurative stuff. You have to figure out. A lot of it's very direct. But we're told, be wise. Okay, God, I get that. I'm supposed to be wise. I'm supposed to make the most of every opportunity. Now, there's one I love. So you can't just go through the day saying, yeah, whatever, let me just get through the day. No, you're supposed to be on the lookout for opportunities. For what? well, to be God's love, for one thing, to practice your wisdom, to grow in God's grace, all sorts of things we're supposed to be on the lookout for. We know that we should have purpose. We must have purpose in our lives. God didn't just throw us in the world and say, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, just go out and have a day. No, have a purposeful day. Live for God. And so, okay, God, we get that. I'm understanding these are big parts of your plan. I get that. It's not a surprise to me. We know we're not supposed to be anxious or worry. Sometimes those are challenges. But we have been told, and we know, I'm going to tell you, intellectually, all of us know, we've been told, don't worry. Don't worry. Why are you worried about all this? You know, and there's other things we can do. If we're going to worry, we can pray. That's always good counsel. But sometimes we don't take the counsel and we worry anyway. But we know not to worry. Intellectually, we know don't worry. Don't be anxious. We know we're supposed to be grateful people. We're supposed to be thankful people. That means we're not supposed to go around grumbling all day. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful about. Yeah, there's stuff that happens. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we can be thankful for that. We can be grateful. We know that we are to tithe. Well, that was Old Testament stuff. Yeah, well, the blessing's still here today. You go out and tithe. God says, I'm ready to open the storehouses and open those gates and just flood you with blessing. And so we know to do that. And a lot of people have done that, and they have testimonies as to how they've been blessed because of it. But we also know that our giving shouldn't be something we're doing under duress, like, I guess I got to give to God. No, we're supposed to, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We know that. Okay, so it seems like we know a whole bunch about what God wants us to do. We know the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You got to love that one. You know, that God wants your heart right before he wants you to give money or time or any of those things. We know we're supposed to make joyful sounds unto the Lord. I'm glad it didn't say sing on key, or I would have been, you know, is that the unforgivable sin? Tom can't sing on key. But I can make a joyful sound, okay? But it's, you know, we're supposed to consider our trials and our hardships as pure joy. If you get into reading James, there's some challenging stuff in there. Consider that pure joy. Yeah, I got another list that would be pure joy, but I don't know about this stuff. But we are, and we know it. We know it. We've been told. It's not like, oh, I blocked that one out of my Bible. I'm not reading that. Yet we know. We're supposed to consider the things that we have to go through. Joyful. And it's like, because we know we're going to come out better on the other end if we will remain faithful. And it's like, okay, God, I understand that's part of your plan. We're going to have some trials. And if we trust you in them, we're going to end up really good for it. So, okay, let's consider it joy. We know there is a crown of righteousness waiting on us. It's like, okay, that get me through the day sometime. Day's not going quite right. Having a hard time being joyful in my trials, but there is a crown waiting on me. Okay, so it's like, okay, maybe it's a little tough now. Maybe the present suffering seems a little tough, but the glory that's to come in God's name and him giving me a crown of righteousness, like, okay, that's cool stuff. God, I know that. I know that. I know what you've told me. Okay, we know to be with the bodies, to be away from the Lord, to be with the Lord, away from the body. It's like, okay, yeah, I hear that every time I go to a funeral. Okay, but we can think about it on other days. You know, it's like there's some struggles in this world, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. We understand that little dichotomy there. God, I get that part. Okay, I'm good. I get that part. We know Jesus already has a place prepared for us. It's not like, boy, hope there's not a no vacancy sign by the time we get. No, we have a place prepared for us. We don't have to worry about that. He wants us there. He's got a place for us. That's his plan for us to be there with him. Okay, I hope I get a balcony. You know, I'd like to have a balcony. But whatever it is, I'm sure it'll be great. But we know that we're supposed to take the gifts and talents, all these abilities, everything that God vested in us, and put them to work. Not just money. Man, I got the gift of this. I'm not using it. Don't want to get it tarnished. You know, I'm going to go put this stuff to work. And I always like the example of the baseball glove when I think of gifts and talents. You know, you can get a new baseball glove and you can oil it and polish it and go put it on the shelf. It'll look pretty. But a real baseball glove's got some grass stains and dirt scuffs. And it's been played with. And it's been out there. It's been in some games. That's what we're supposed to do with what God gave us, our gifts and talents. And every year, at least twice, I preach the parable of the talents. Hadn't done it this year, so it's coming up. So people, get ready. Okay, it's coming again. But put it to work. And we can't say, well, I didn't know that. Yes, we do. We do know that we're supposed to take what God gave us, put it to work, produce a good return for him, for the body of Christ. It's like, okay, God, I understand that part of your plan. I get it. We know we should greet other believers with a special greeting, with blessings. Peace to all who are in Christ. Greet one another with a kiss of love. We've been told, You know, we're special. When we see each other, there should be a little blessing. You know, may God bless you. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you. You know, because what? We're special. We belong to each other. Now, everyone belongs to God, but we've gotten there. We've gotten to where we realize that we have eyes to see. There's a believer. Yeah, let's rejoice. Let's get excited. I'm with another believer. And we should greet each other more often with blessings. A couple chapters back, Joseph took his father, Jacob, called Israel now, to see the Pharaoh. And there was a blessing at the beginning, a blessing at the end. Some translations say a greeting at the ending, at the beginning, greeting at the end. Well, it used to be, it's kind of the same thing. We greeted each other with blessings. We go and say, praise the Lord, or this. And the Pharaoh wasn't a godly man, but, you know, Jacob blessed him, you know, in the name of the Lord. I'm blessed that, you know, you've done all this for us. We've got this cool land you gave us up here, and which is really valuable real estate today. So it was a good investment for them, even though they had to leave it and go back to the promised land. But, you know, they had 400 years there in that prime Goshen territory. But it's like when we meet other people, our formal greetings should be blessings. And you kind of think, what happened when we stopped doing that? Well, it seemed like our language started to sour a whole bunch, too. People just, you know, the language turned the wrong way and everything. If we started with a blessing in our greeting, how much better would our conversation be? Used to be, especially in the Reformed tradition, we'd go around and say, you know, the peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. Well, that's a nice little greeting between believers. You know, the peace of the Lord. Yeah, what a greeting. It's a blessing. We're asking, you know, the peace of the Lord be with you. And a lot of Christians aren't going to like this part. You know who's got that part down? The Muslims. Alaikum salam, salam alaikum, you know, the Lord's peace be with you. And they greet each other like that all the time. And it's like we go, yeah, hey, dude. It's like, how about peace of the Lord? That's some good stuff. You know, somehow we lost those greetings when we see other believers. And it's, you know, but for right now, we understand it's part of God's plan. We should be blessing each other when we see each other. It just should be part of our conversation. We know that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Good old Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're supposed to do that. We know we're supposed to trust with all of our heart. It's a challenge sometimes. Our own understanding is working its will against us and trying to get us to go that way because we understand it. It's our own understanding, but we are supposed to trust with all our heart. And we know that we're to seek justice, but to love mercy. Justice is good, mercy is good, but we're supposed to go after justice. That's a good thing, but love mercy. We've people who receive mercy. We should be people who are giving mercy. And we should understand God really loves mercy. Yeah, God's going to be just. He is. But he loves mercy. We know that God desires mercy more than sacrifice, more than the offerings that could be perfunctory. Okay, let's bring the offering up. Let's do this thing. God would rather see mercy in our hearts than, you know, here's a big old stack of $100 bills on the altar, okay? Not that if you have a stack of $100 bills and want to stop by the Cumberland Presbyterian Church on Sunday, that's okay too. You can have mercy and sacrifice. No, God desires mercy more than sacrifice. We understand that love fulfills the law. And I think we also understand that when we live that way, we didn't lower the bar, we raised the bar. If you're really living a life of love, the bar just got raised. Expectations are now higher. We understand that the answer to the question in the Good Samaritan, you know, who is my neighbor, is to be a neighbor. It's not like at the end of it, Jesus said, okay, people live in this district or that district. No, he said, go ahead and be a neighbor. Who was the neighbor in this? The one who showed mercy. Yeah. They wouldn't say the Samaritan because they'd have to spit if they said Samaritan. But it's like the one who showed mercy. Well, Jesus' parable says, you be a neighbor. You be the one who shows mercy. We know that. We know we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. We also know the Lord of the Sabbath. We know the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. We know we can do good on the Sabbath. We know all these things. There's people always wrestling with the Sabbath, this and that. And it's like, you know, Jesus said, I'm working all the time. So is my Father in heaven. Okay? We don't crucify the Levites who work on the Sabbath. That's part of what they do. So you're getting wrapped up on too many rules. Understand who the Lord of the Sabbath is. And it's like, well, we do. Okay, God, we understand that part. We do. We know we're not supposed to forsake the gathering together for worship. Okay, God, I know that. I know. It's kind of like, okay, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Seems like I already know what God wants me to do, what his plan is. We know the Word of God is living and active, alive and active. Remember, the sharper and a double-edged sword divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. end of it, I love, judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We know that. We know where to look. If I need someone to be critical about me, I'm going to the Word. And it's just not going to sugarcoat it. And I can't say, well, that person's judging me. No, this is the Word of God judging the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. We know that whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Okay. Yeah, this whole love thing again. Get God, I know that part. I know it. And it's like, it seems like I'm kind of knowing more than maybe I thought I did about what God's plan is. We know that perfect love casts out fear. We're not supposed to live in fear. Why? Because we live in love. You know, fear has to do with punishment. We're not getting punishment. God claimed us forever. In those words, Jesus is Lord. He says, yeah, you're probably going to mess up some more, but you're mine. You're mine all the way through eternity, and I'm not kicking you to the curb. I'm going to love you, and he's got some stuff he wants us to do. Take his yoke, learn from him, go out and show love to others. But, yeah, we're his. We know that we're his, and so perfect love does cast out fear. We don't live in fear. Oh, we know that anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister, okay? Yeah, that one makes sense. That's easier than the other one that says you got to love your enemy. Okay, well, sometimes your brothers and sisters can be tough, too. Yeah. But, oh, okay, we get this love thing. God, I get it. You want me to be a creature of love. I get that. I understand what you're saying. We know that sometimes the best thing for us is just to be still and be in God's presence. Just be still. God does a special thing when we're just still, and it's just him. And he can rejuvenate us. He can restore us. He can do everything that needs to be done. We don't have to even talk. Just be still. We know that he will finish the good work he began in us. That's a promise. Okay. Now, sometimes I ask God every week, say, God, sometimes we need to know we're going the right direction. You know, pat me on the back or kick me in the butt or whatever you need to do. Just give me an affirmation that, okay, you are working on me, because this week seemed like I didn't make any progress. But we're making progress. He's working on it, and we understand that. We acknowledge that. We know that's part of God's plan. Doesn't all happen at once. Salvation's in an instant. This whole discipleship thing, this whole living God's way, that's a daily thing. That whole pick up your cross daily. Not, well, once a week, you know, no, daily. And follow Jesus. Okay, that's daily work. We understand that part, God. We know the parts of no other gods. Okay? We know that intellectually in this country. I don't know we actually practice that so much with all our American idols or football heroes and everything that we idolize and seem to put first, you know, our lifestyles and our money and all those things we want. But we know, at least intellectually, it's God and only God. You can't have two or three. There's one true God, and you need to seek him. We know we are to seek God, his kingdom, his righteousness before anything else. Who can have other things? In fact, God tells us if you keep on seeking him, he's going to give you the stuff that the godless world wants and makes their gods. He said, you can have other stuff too, but he's got to be first. No other gods, he's got to be first. We know that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. We understand that part. I can't have, say, I'm storing up this whole bunch of stuff right here, but I want to live with you, God. I want to be with you. It's supposed to be co-located. Your treasure and your heart, same place, okay? So what our heart's seeking after, that's what we're turning into our God. And if we're wise, it will be the one true God that we're seeking after. Oh, and here's that. I wrote that. Yeah, love your enemies. Man, that one comes up time and time again. And sometimes like, okay, you're supposed to do that. Let's move on to whatever's next. But, you know, pray for those who persecute you and all those things. It's like God said it. It's got to be true. It must work. I better do it. I know to do it, God. Don't always want to do it, but I know that's part of your plan. We're talking about God's plan here and what we know about it. Oh, we know that we're not supposed to judge the condemning judgment others. Don't look down on someone and say, oh, the whole finger pointing. We judge all the time. I'm going to do this over that. I'm going to make this decision over that decision. But we're talking the condemning judgment. Says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, I'm in good with God. Not you so much. No, that's our human nature, is to put someone down in condemnation. We know we're not supposed to do that. If someone needs judged, they go back to Hebrews 4:12. This Word will judge the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. We lead people to God and his Word. We don't have to do the judging. That part's come. It's come through the Word. Okay, we don't return evil for evil. We return good for evil. It's like, but our heart says we ought to get a little payback. No, I get it, God. I get it. You know, vengeance is yours, not mine. Okay, so I'm not the one who's going to be paying anybody back anything. I get it. It's part of your plan. Don't always, you know, put that in my top 10 or 20 or 200, but I'm working on it, okay? Sometimes the evil for evil just, oh, man, our human nature. So I'm going to punch that guy in the nose. I'm already forgiven for it, so why not? Yeah. No, that's not what he wants. Okay. We know that our entire lives are to be a living sacrifice. They're a reasonable act of worship and service. It's not like, okay, there's 2 hours Sunday morning, check off, move on. No, our entire life is supposed to be lived as an offering to God, as our act of worship to God. We know that not all of the seeds that we scatter will land on good soil. It's like, oh, God, I put all my best effort into that. Won't all land on good soil. It's just part of the deal. Okay, and even Paul said, so that some might be saved. I think Paul might have had a pretty big ego. I don't know. He Pharisee time. He was like, everyone was doing what he wanted, and he was making people do this, and he was out persecuting Christians, and then he had the road to Damascus, and he came around. I think he still kept part of that ego. Thought, I'll go save everybody. But Paul realized, it's not me that saves them. So we go plant our seeds where we plant them, and they either land on good soil or they don't. But we do the best we can to keep planting those seeds. We know we're supposed to make disciples, baptize, and teach. That one's right there in our commission. It's like, okay, God, I get that part. I know. We know we're to honor our parents. I was pleased that the youth groups the last couple weeks had been bringing that topic up of honoring our parents, because it's not really a thing in our country anymore. It seems like that's kind of gone by the wayside, except maybe out in this part of the country where we still have some pretty wholesome values, and I hope we hold on to that one. Oh, we know that if we covet what other people have, that's just going to mess everything up. You know, if we look at our blessings, we can rejoice. If we look at something someone else has, I don't have one of those. Man, I'd like to have. I don't know what it does, but I want one. And it's like, I covet what something, and it just messes everything up. God, I get it. I shouldn't covet what others have. You've given people what you think they need or don't need, and in the end, there'll be a judgment how they used them. And it's like, okay, so I don't need to covet what anybody has. Maybe I should just take what I have and put it to work. Okay, we know that we are to keep on praying. Even though we say amen, doesn't mean we can't say hello again in 5 or 10 more minutes. You know, praying should be a constant state with us. And like I've reminded people before, if you're praying as you're driving down the road, don't close your eyes. Okay, there's enough people look like they're not paying attention because they're texting while they drive. So keep your eyes open while you pray if you're driving. Okay, are we at halftime or you want me to keep going? I'll try to remember where I stopped then.
We want to continue to pray for Joe Pyatt as he is experiencing extreme pain in his back and in his side. Believing for answers and healing. Continue to pray for Robin Franks, who had back surgery last week. She was back in ER last night, sick with a lot of pain. Continue prayers for the family of Ashley McLean, who passed away. Pray for Julie Harmon, who is having surgery this morning in Oklahoma City. Pray for Nikki and her mom, Patty. They are calling in hospice for pain management. I didn't get a chance to write Neva's on there yet.
Was that the one about Joe?
Yes.
Okay. I can remember Joe. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. This time we come with our petitions, our requests, the things we want to ask you for. We're going to lift up Joe Pyatt once again. Lord, you know he is your faithful servant, and he has been through some stuff, and he is still faithful. But right now, he just needs some relief from some pain. So, Lord, grant him that relief that he may have a testimony to give of how you continue to work in his life. Lord, we also lift up Nikki and her mom as they face hospice coming in, and there's more pain to be dealt with. So, Lord, just be present with them. Help them to take the peace that goes beyond understanding, just feel your presence, and Lord, not be anxious. And Lord, we pray for Robin with her back surgery, and Lord, she has pain too. Lord, we're a people and we got a lot of pain, but Lord, we know that you can take care of that. So Lord, give her some relief. Grant her relief from her pain. And we continue to pray for the family of Ashley McLean, we ask that they have peace that goes beyond understanding. We ask that everyone in that family come to know you as Lord. We ask that everyone in that family one day can claim that crown of righteousness, that they do run their good race, fight the good fight, keep the faith all the way through. So, Lord, be with the McLean family. And we pray for Julie Harmon, who's having surgery this morning. We ask the surgery go well, that the surgeons do what they need to do, that your hands guide them, and that it will be successful, and that she, too, will have a testimony to give. Lord, we lift up so many who we've not named today, but that are dealing with pain in so many different forms. Lord, grant them relief. Let them know it was you working on their pain, and Lord, just give everyone a testimony that you are at work in this world today. All this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.